actually are.
Oh, no more podcasting through computer screens.
No, I mean, you look so beautiful through my computer screen, but live and in person is a whole new thing.
It's a sensory experience.
And everyone should know that I'm wearing a dress that kind of crisscrosses and ties. But it was feeling tight because Kristen and I had a cute little lunch together. So I really undid it. And I'm just really hanging out for the whole world to see.
I'm not complaining. I'm like a really big fan of what's happening.
So I said to Kristen, there's going to be a lot of cleavage your way this podcast. But I feel like...
She knows how to inspire me. I think some of the best talking I've ever done is going to happen today.
I think probably the best talking anyone's ever done has happened in the presence of good cleavage.
I think good cleavage is the ultimate motivator of life.
On that note, we're going to talk about something completely unrelated. So we had this really fun night where we brought back a Create class in New York, and it had been a minute since we had a Create class live. Kristen was able to go to Denver to teach this really great Create workshop, and then I was just here in New York this past week, and we did this great Create on when we feel stuck.
And friends, I was not there, so this talk, I'm with you. Like, I'm going to be listening and learning from the great wisdom of Natalie Roy throughout this podcast, and I can't wait for her to change my life, because she does it every day.
So, you know, some of you know, because I've shared on the podcast that, you know, I've had a little hip injury, so I've been home and in some land of stuck energy. And really what physically being immobile brought up for me was the feeling of when you can't move forward. Now, I have a great acupuncturist who was speaking to me about the Sufi path in Chinese medicine. And their path is that says, first, you feel the pain or the resistance or whatever it is that wants to be healed. And you really have to go into that process. And to be in that process, you really can't go anywhere else. You just have to go all the way in and deal with whatever is coming in. After that healing process has taken place, then you start to walk. But the idea is you can only walk after the healing has taken place, because the healing will actually cause you to walk in a new way that you have not walked before, or it'll cause you to walk in a different direction than you were walking before. So many times we want to rush whatever healing process we're in because we just want to keep moving. We just want to keep hustling. We just want to keep the momentum going. But sometimes when we get stuck, there's something that wants to happen. There's something life wants to experience with you that is actually a great teacher, a great healing, something that could be really profound for our lives if we just stop and really surrender to the healing that wants to happen instead of fighting to keep control.
One of the things that August Gold says is that life is always in conversation with us, so that when we find ourselves in one of those moments where either we are stopped or we feel like life is stopping us, all of it is part of a conversation. There's a dialogue that wants to happen, and that dialogue is always motivated by love.
Yeah.
So the stuckness is actually because the universe loves you.
Right.
And it's like, I have a big gift for you. I have a big present. I have exactly what it is you want.
And it was really interesting because just physically what was happening with me was the way my bones were positioned, there was wear and tear that happened over time. Every time you take a step, because the bones weren't locked in the right place, it was causing this wear and tear. So inevitably, at some point, I was going to get stuck.
Yeah.
So what life is really trying to teach me right now physically is how can we strengthen muscles and move things in a new way so that things are more in alignment, so that there's less pain and there's no reason to stay stuck.
Right? Oh, yes.
So physically, this was all happening in my body, and I thought, well, then we must do a Create on what happens when you feel stuck, because I really went through all the stages, and I would almost look at it like the stages of grief, of feeling stuck, where at first you're kind of in denial and you think you can just still do everything. And then you realize that you can't do everything and you realize you have all this energy in your body, but your body can't keep up with you and you don't feel as young as you used to. And then you get angry and then you get life isn't fair and then you get into victim story. And then you sort of surrender to it and you say, okay, well, this is just what wants to happen right now and I'm okay to actually take this time. And then you start liking the isolation and you like the time away and then it starts feeling good. And then it's been too much time and then you want to get back and then you want to try to control how fast the healing happens and then it's not happening in the time you want it to and then you get mad again and then, you know, and so it's this whole interesting cycle. So being stuck isn't just a static thing. Being stuck is very dynamic. There's actually a lot of movement within what we call stuck.
Woo! Natalie Roy! That is good stuff!
I haven't even got to my notes yet!
There is movement inside being stuck.
Right.
A movement that needs to happen that can't happen until you're stuck.
Movement that's actually occurring because actually the way you were moving before is actually what made you stuck.
Yes, that's right.
So the movement that's occurring within what feels like stuck is actually the dynamic movement that's moving you to actually where you want to be.
Woo. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Just try that on for size.
Yeah, it's doing all the things in my soul right now. It's doing all the things.
So, first of all, we just want to take off the label that stuck is bad. We just want to say that stuck may not feel comfortable and it may not feel good in a world that highly prioritizes movement.
Right, accomplishing things.
But sometimes what we could call stuck is actually restoration, is actually healing, is actually integration, is actually all kinds of things that are actually for our highest good.
Stuck is necessary.
Stuck is necessary.
Because we'll only move in a way that is like the right or safe way to move for a certain level of development. But once you start to go through a maturation process and go to a new level, you now have to recalibrate.
Exactly, exactly. And every time we move to the next level or we up level, our ego will come at us really hard. So sometimes what needs to move and recalibrate is actually just the killing off of those old stories that don't fit us anymore.
Yes.
But if we try to move too fast through the process, then we miss what the process is here to do within us.
Mm-hmm.
So all the change only happens on the outer, and then it's not sustainable.
Right, it's not real change if it's only happening on the outer.
Exactly.
It has to be an inner process.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of artists will describe something like, well, I got something great, but I feel like I don't know if I can get it again, or it's not sustainable. It's like, right, because the process only happened on the outer. And until it integrates inside of you, and until it becomes part of you, then you can't continue to manifest on the regular that thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So the first thing we want to do is take off that hat that stuck is bad. And not to say that when you're stuck, it doesn't feel bad. And we want to honor that all of those feelings are beautiful. That when you feel angry, when you feel lethargic, when you feel upset, we want to honor that all of those are good things. And actually, emotions are energy in motion. So if you are feeling angry that you are stuck, you're already moving.
Oh, something's happening.
Something is already happening. If you're mad about it, if you feel, you know, all the feelings about it, good. It's already moving. It may not move as fast as you want. It may not move the way you recognize it. It may not move the way you want it to move, but you have to trust that the paradigm that is being brought into your life is better than the one that you were controlling before.
Right. You almost have to get ready for something that you can't control because you've never seen it before. It's bigger than you and you don't know how it's going to come in.
Exactly.
You don't know how it's going to recalibrate.
So if it feels comfortable, it's only going to be a replication of what you've already had.
Oh, so the uncomfortableness of it is part of the recalibration.
Exactly. It's like a kid going through growing pains.
Yes.
It hurts. Your bones are shifting. It hurts, but that's how we grow.
That's how we grow.
Right?
Yeah.
Or I think about losing the tooth, and then you have the big gap for a while, and your gum hurts. But then a new tooth grows in, a stronger tooth. a bigger tooth, a tooth that can handle more food, yeah. right? So we want to allow this process even though it hurts.
Yes.
So once we take off the label that stuck is bad, let's just now look at the way stuck might manifest. And the way I was teaching on this the other night was that stuck can manifest from the inside out or the outside in. So here's an example of when it feels like it's from the outside in. When it feels like stuck is an external force. And I'm going to call that the door slamming force, right? Uh-huh. When it feels like everything you do, the door is getting slammed in your face. You know, you're trying to lose weight, it's not working. You're trying to sell your screenplay, it's not working. You're trying to have a baby, it's not working. You're trying to get more auditions, it's not working.
It's like whatever you do, you feel like life out there isn't letting you move forward.
Exactly. So every time you have this new idea, this new passion, this new thing, slam door in your face. So that's when it feels like the outside world is kind of out to get you. Uh-huh. And it feels like this outer reality, you're up against it and you're fighting with it and you're just trying to be seen, trying to be heard. And it's always that you're on the outside looking in of whatever that is.
Reminds me of Monopoly, like do not pass go, do yes. not collect $200. Yes. You're just like, all right, yes. great.
So there's a study that says dogs were in pens and these dogs would receive shocks every time they tried to leave the pen. So this is almost what it feels like when you're an artist and you're so motivated. I wrote my first screenplay and then you get a shock. You're like, ow, that really hurt. Okay, well, I'm going to try someone else. Ah, I got a shot. Oh, you know, I'm going to try this other thing. Ah, got a shot. Or someone who's going on audition after audition and you keep feeling like you're getting rejected. It's like you keep getting those shocks.
Yep.
Well, after a while, the dogs weren't actually being shocked anymore and the pens were open so the dogs could freely go, but a dog never even attempted, not one. Not one dog even attempted. There was no shocks. The doors were wide open. And that's sometimes what happens with artists. If you've had enough auditions that you didn't get, then the minute you get an audition, you start saying, well, I'm not going to get it anyway.
Yeah, right, who cares?
Yeah, right? And you feel this resignation. Mm-hmm. And that's what the stuck energy actually is.
Right, that can happen with people who've been burned in love a lot before.
Yes.
Oh, I've had so many failed relationships. Like, what's going to happen with this stage?
It's just going to be another version of the old one.
Why even? Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So we get resigned because it feels like every time we put ourselves out there, wholeheartedly, passionately, like from the purity of our joy, and we just get the door slammed in our face, and then we're not interested in even walking up to the door anymore. That's when it feels external, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it feels external like that, it's like in the presence of too much pain, we give up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just feels too much. And it feels like our actions are pointless. So then we lose our zest for even what we wanted.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't even want to be a writer anymore. Maybe trying to have a baby is too hard after so many months of it not working out.
Yeah.
And we just, we get so resigned that that's the stuck energy. Now, when we do this, we've given all of our power to the form. We've given all of our power to that which is outside of ourselves. And in this state, we lose our ability to visualize and we move into a state of awfulizing. And we know people like this. You know people that you say, I think I'm going to go out for a walk. Well, it's probably going to rain.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think I want to go on a trip this summer. Oh, you know, well, hopefully, you know.
It's safe over there.
And I hear the euros are expensive right now. Yeah, or whatever the thing
There's
is.
There's always, like, the negative side of the coin. You know, the person who's, like, decided to be a cynic to
yeah.
protect themselves.
Yeah. Just that constant predicting of the bad. Future
mm-hmm.
instead of visualizing the lovable future.
Mm-hmm.
So then sometimes it appears first on the internal, okay? And whether we understand that to be so or not, when it appears in the internal, we want to think of things like feelings of doubt, sabotaging thoughts, an underlying feeling of unworthiness that creates an external barrier for us to overcome. So if we feel deep inside of ourselves that we're unworthy, then what we will need to do is prove that we're not right. So we will set up barriers and close doors outside of ourselves so that we can plow through them and prove see, that's not true about me. I am worthy. I am worthy. So it's like we set up these Mount Everest to climb, but we don't really have to climb them. It's all just to disprove these limiting beliefs.
Right.
So the limiting belief is the thing that shuts the door so that we can either perpetuate a victim story or so that we can find a way to get through that door and prove that we're stronger, bigger, worthy, and so those feelings of doubt can be eradicated. But the trick is they only get eradicated for that one moment, and then the next scenario, they're back again.
I've heard people say that to me of like, well, I like it when people are against me because I like to prove them all wrong. And
yes.
I just think, oh, that sounds like a really painful way of having to move through the world.
It's just a lot of work.
A lot of work all the time.
Energy. It's a lot to do that you could be investing in love and joy and creativity and passion.
Yeah.
So when it appears on the internal first, this is almost a different psychological setup than the dogs and the pens. The psychological setup in this paradigm is what it made me think of was Freud's pleasure and reality principle. So Freud's theory is that there's the pleasure principle, which is I want pleasure. That's the pleasure principle.
Very easy to
understand. It's our favorite thing to teach
them.
I want pleasure. The reality principle is I want pleasure, but something's in the way of it. Something is preventing it, right? Now, this is all so interesting because people often say, like, you need a reality check. You have your head in the clouds. Oh, you think you're going to be a millionaire? Oh, you think you can just sell your screenplay? Oh, you think you
right.
can just go off to Hollywood and be a star? You need a reality check. It's exactly this principle. The reality is all the things that are in the way of you getting what you want.
Yeah.
But the truth is, in kind of Freud's paradigm, because he really worked with dreams and interpretations, is it was all that the thing that prevented it was always the inside. It was always what's inside of you that's actually preventing the pleasure. Now, Freud goes further to say that consciously, we think if we get rid of the reality principle, we'll be happy. We think if we get rid of the thing that's between us and the thing we want, then we'll be happy because we'll have the thing we want. But the truth is, the reality principle is what makes pleasure feel like pleasure.
Oh.
The not having of it, but desiring it and thinking of it and fantasizing about it and visualizing of it is actually what makes it feel, taste, seem so good to us. And we can't be human without both. And humanity is actually the interplay between these two things.
Well, it makes me think of like Abraham Hicks and when they talk about contrast.
Yes.
That we only can know what we want because we have experience to go, oh, not that, yes, that, no, not that. It's almost like we learn who we are through experience.
But also, in this principle, we think we want the pleasure principle, but actually, we want the reality principle so that we can have the thing, the dream,
the payoff
of the pleasure principle.
Yeah.
So, I think it was actually Pete Rollins who talked about this, but I loved this. He said, if you think about it, a gambler is not actually addicted to winning. They're actually addicted to losing. And the more you lose, the more you crave winning. So the reality principle in the case of the gambler is the losing. And the losing is actually what makes the pleasure keep growing. The more you lose, the bigger it grows. The more you want it, the more you crave it, the more you think about it. But if you think about a gambler that sat down at a table and won hand after hand after hand after hand after hand, they would stop playing.
It would get boring.
It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be pleasure. But when you're losing and you're up against it and you have to overcome it, that is actually what makes you turned on in that particular case.
Whoa. That reminds me of how Carolyn Elliott says that having is the evidence of wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So often we think we don't want what we have. But she's like, actually, the having of it is the evidence that that's what you want.
That's what you wanted.
And so she says, in order to shift your reality in any ways, you actually have to realize that on some level, you really do want what you have. That you actually like kind of get off on what it is that you have and see how you're getting payoffs for what you have and really thoroughly enjoy it before you can move on and transcend it.
And so what we are saying to you, friends, is you are staring at those closed, slamming doors, thinking that is the obstacle, thinking it's the thing you don't want, thinking it's the thing you hate, thinking it's the thing in the way of everything you want, but that closed, slamming door is actually the thing you want the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a lot to swallow. But the reason you want it is so you can be engaged in this thing called life. Because if it was all Shangri-La, then it wouldn't feel like evolvement. We evolve through saying, what is this door? Why did the door close? What's going on with this door?
Who am I in contrast to this door?
Exactly.
And only by having the door do I start to get to know who I am through my experience of myself around it.
Exactly. So Abraham Hicks has a really cool way of thinking about this. Where they say, if you choose, you can look at every door in front of you and you can create the story of life is hard for me. It's so much harder for me than everyone else. I'm stuck. All I ever see is closed doors. Or if you choose, you can look at every closed door in front of you and create the story of, for this door to be closed, it had to have previously been opened. And I am so curious what thoughts and actions and feelings of mine did that. So I can always be the one who easily opens doors when I find them closed.
Yes.
Not so I can expect life to do that for me. Or if I'm a good enough girl, or if I'm worthy enough, or if I get enough credits, doors will start opening. I can learn how to be the person who opens doors. And that is why they're closed. So I can empower myself to take my power back.
So that you can know yourself as powerful, so that you can know yourself as a creator. And it makes me think of, once I see a closed door, I start to get curious about how does this door open? And how do I, in my own individual way, open this door? So all of a sudden there becomes a conversation there, and the conversation, just because the conversation is started, change is already in motion.
That's exactly right. So even though you feel stuck behind this closed door, again, there's already things moving.
Yes.
So it's the illusion of stuck. But really, in this setup, there's probably more movement than you've ever had in your life.
Yes.
So Abraham Hicks says, beliefs are the things that close doors, and desire opens doors. Now, you know, Kristen and I love to talk about desire.
Give me some desire.
So the belief that you are stuck is actually what makes you stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're stuck because you keep wanting to justify why you're stuck and it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
You're stuck because you want to be stuck, because it's easier to be stuck and to not be responsible than to be big and accept what comes with that.
That's right. In order to change anything in our lives, it starts with this decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even need to know what the next action is, but we just make a 100% decision that we are changing our concept of ourselves.
That's it.
And by changing our concept of ourselves, we've changed our concept of the door.
Of the door. That's right. Right. That's right.
Right.
That's right. Because
so,
you are the thing perceiving the door. So
yes.
If you change the seer, then what is being seen changes.
It changes immediately.
That's
right.
Right. That's
and
right.
That, and that change concept is where we've now created space. We've created movement. And from that place, the divine, the universe, can't wait to come in and be our partner and say, I got a million different ways to open that door.
It really makes me think of the Matrix.
Yeah.
Of you know, Neo kept thinking, like, I have to learn, or it's someone else is going to do
right.
it. And as soon as he changed his belief system about himself and what was possible for him, he just put his hands up and the bullets stopped.
That's right.
Right? And it's like, what is that moment for all of us? The resistance, the closed door, that is the thing that is trying to show us who we are.
Yes. It's like we can wake up every morning and go, ooh, I came to be a door opener. Show me the doors that I'm going to open today, or show me a new tool that you're going to teach me so I can be the best door opener that ever was.
Or show me how my mind is so convinced that there are doors everywhere when there's just open air.
Yeah, all there is open space.
Show me how I'm making the whole thing up. Yes. To justify that it has to be harder for me than everyone else. Show me how I'm making the whole thing up so that I can earn my own respect.
Yes.
Show me how I can learn to love myself so much that I don't have to overcompensate and prove it anymore.
That's beautiful.
So one thing that Abraham Hicks went on to say when they were talking about this door thing that I absolutely loved, as we're talking about this thing of, if desire opens doors and beliefs close them, then one thing that I often think is people get really dedicated to, okay, let me find what my limiting beliefs are and let me really try to change them. Right. Let me really try to do the work to counterbalance them, to make them like they don't exist, or to change those things. Our beliefs, some of our beliefs have been with us for pretty much as long as we've been alive. The cultural beliefs, those stories, the familial beliefs, those have been, some of those are in our bloodstream.
Yeah.
Some of those are coursing through our DNA.
Yes.
And we are powerful creators, but we could spend our whole lives trying to rewrite those stories and rewire those belief systems. But there's another way, and it's so much more fun. And it is the way that says, Abraham Hicks says, anytime there is a door closed, it is only because we have split our energy. And what this means is our belief, which is the thing that closes the door, and our desire, which is things that open doors, are basically equal and at odds with each other. It's almost like when you can't make a decision, it's because your pro and con list is pretty much 50-50. Ooh. Because if your pro and con list was like, well, it's 30% pros and 70% cons, then you would know what decision to make. When we're in indecision, it's when we are not sure because the energy is kind of equal on both sides and we don't want to make a misstep. Yeah. So when our beliefs are about half and our desires are about half, then they kind of cancel each other out and the door just stays closed.
All we can do is stall.
All we can do is stall and feel stuck and complain about it, which actually makes the belief bigger, which makes the door stay closed.
Which makes the desire get bigger.
Yes, but here's the thing. We need to learn to make the desire bigger.
Yes.
Because the desire to get unstuck will get bigger, but then that will reinforce the belief that it's stuck. So we stay in the hamster wheel of it. So we have to get out of the desire to get unstuck. And we have to say, what's my actual desire?
Right.
Because my actual desire isn't to get unstuck. My actual desire is to run the world. My actual desire is to be Oprah. My actual desire is to plant a garden. My actual desire is to whatever.
And sometimes when people feel stuck or they feel like they can't move, what they do is they turn down their desire.
Yes.
Well, then I'll decide that that's off limits for me.
Lower expectations.
Lower their expectations, right? They'll make their world smaller, try to like make their appetite smaller, their expectations smaller, their turn down the volume of their hope.
So the disappointments are less.
Yeah. And it's a really sad way to live because deep down you know there is a powerful self in you and you just feel like you can't get access to it.
Yes.
Yes.
So what we want to say is here's examples of split energy.
Please.
I want more money. That's the desire. I love money. I want more money. That's my desire. To have more money. Well, the belief that could be splitting and creating that closed door is making money is really hard. So if you hold one of those in each hand, then again, it's like you're neutralizing the desire.
That's right.
So the door stays closed. I want more auditions. I have no credits. I want more bookings. All I get is callbacks. I want my shot. People like me have to work harder than everyone else. So whatever it is, you could think of an example right now of a deep desire you have. It could be anything. And then you also have the reason, the belief of why you can't have it, or of why it's hard, or of why it's challenging, or why it's difficult, or why whatever. And all they're doing is countering each other. So in this case, many people will go to, well, then let me try to get rid of the belief. Let me try to get rid of the thing that's holding me back. But working with resistance to something that you don't want actually just creates more resistance to the thing you don't want and gives it more power.
Yeah.
So what we want to say instead is, what if you shifted your focus and said, what if my job is not to make my limited beliefs smaller? what if I just leave my limited beliefs over in the corner? Okay, you go over and sit there and I won't bother you. And your job is actually to look over at your desire and say, how and you and I can get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
This is about me and you now.
Mm-hmm.
Limiting belief is going to be over there. It's going to yell at me. My ego is going to tell me all the things. But in the meantime, desire, you and me are going to get bigger. Because if we make desire bigger, which is expansive and fun and full of life and big and exciting and life asking for itself, if we do that, the belief will still go, hey, no, but you can't do that. No, but you can't. And you're like, but I'm over here with desire having a great time. So all of a sudden, you've already got smaller.
Right. It's motivating, allowing your desire to get gigantic and outrageous and audacious is so motivating.
So motivating.
And so often, you're right, we don't let our desire go all the way there.
Never.
We don't say, go all the way.
Never.
What do you want? Have it all. We were trained since we were little kids to be like, to turn down the volume. So even those of us who are big dreamers somehow have like cut down the pie a little bit.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, if you say go to the moon,
yes,
go all the way there, you can have it all. What does it start to do? It enlivens you. It gives you a sense of energy and momentum. And all of a sudden, it's like you can't wait to be alive.
Because what most people are doing is only allowing their desires to come alive in the reality principle,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to the pleasure principle activated now. So it's like, I remember being in an acting class once and the teacher asked all of us to go around and say, what's your dream right now,
yeah,
for your acting career? And this sweet guy said, I would just really like to book an under 5 on Law and Order. And an under 5 basically means less than 5 lines.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, and the teacher said, great, you know, that's a great goal. And I thought, but it's so small.
Yeah.
But where is the guy in you that goes, well, I want the Oscar.
Yeah.
But you can't say that out loud because people will think you're crazy.
I want to be in Martin Scorsese films.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, where is that permission? Because we've made the desire so small that we actually don't even know what it is anymore.
So, and you won't hear this anywhere else, if we say, turn up the volume all the way on your desire. See what happens if you say you can have it all.
And when we're talking about desire, this is something Rob Bell recently did a podcast, mm-hmm, on desire. And I loved what he had to say, but he talked about like the cheap kind of fast food desires,
uh-huh,
versus like the real heavy hitter desires.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about here. You don't have to talk about your, you know, maybe you do have a desire for, you know, a beautiful wine and cheese plate. Well, great. Expand that desire. But maybe there's also a desire to be in your authentic truth.
Yes.
Maybe that's the big desire of your heart, right? So being in your authentic truth must be bigger than those beliefs that tell you you're small and you can't do it and you're not enough. That's what we talk about when we talk about expanding desire. The desire to be in my authentic power. The desire to be audaciously myself. The desire to be a powerful creator in the world. The desire to have my voice be heard. What is your actual desire? It's the thing that's fueling all,
yes,
those surface desires.
And you know what's so fascinating? When we go for our authentic desire, the one that really turns us on, we will start to watch how what we see in life changes.
Yes.
Those doors start to disappear on their own. Sometimes I think our biggest job as a creator is to activate ourselves.
Yes.
And doing that exercise of how big can I dream is in itself an activating exercise. We don't need to know the how, as we always say.
That's right.
The how will come in once we've created the field or the space or the vibration where we can hear it.
And the how is boring. The how is like, mm, the how is like the homework.
Well, also,
like, doing your dream is recess. Don't be so concerned with doing the homework.
Well, also, I always just feel like God is like our lover that wants to surprise us, and he's like, don't take the surprise away. It'd be like if Natalie, my birthday's coming up, if Natalie planned me this elaborate, beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous breakfast buffet, but I got up and I was like, no one ever thinks about my birthday. I'm going to do it myself, right? I got to go get da 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 da. And I put myself in a place because of a negative outlook.
Yes.
Where I've created hustle and I've missed the banquet.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So I think the divine, the universe is like, oh, baby, just let me give to you.
And so what if every time we feel stuck, someone else is preparing the freaking banquet and stop running away.
Stop.
You're gonna miss it.
Yes.
Because it is where you are. That is where it wants to show up. But if you keep trying to get somewhere else, it cannot get to you.
It cannot get to you.
I love this like image of like me with like my bum hip like trying with all these heavy bags like running down the street and like the universe behind me like, I have so much for you right behind you. Stop running at that closed door. Turn around.
There has to be an easier way. It's like my rule of if it starts to get hard, stop.
Yes.
You know, it's like when you're creating, you're working on, when you're songwriting and like the wheels start to grind, it's, oh, there's a flowy path.
That's
there's
right.
an easy path.
That's
Let's
right.
take a breath.
Take a breath.
There's an easy thing that wants to happen right now.
Take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Do something else. Have a dance party. Go buy some flowers.
Give a little space for the imagination to slip in.
Yes. So when we talk about expanding your desire, really what we want you to do, when we talked at the beginning about the feeling of doors closing. Now, here's the thing, friends. We set this up to say, sometimes it looks like it's from the outside in, sometimes it looks from the inside out. Guess what? It's all the same thing. It's all illusion. It's all the same thing. It's all actually coming from the inside.
Yeah.
All of it. Even the ones that seem like they're coming from the outside are coming from the inside. So when we talk about activating that desire, you actually have the most powerful thing already inside of you, and you can do it at any moment. You can close your eyes right now and do it. It is called your imagination. And we think imagination is a dirty word because at some point someone said, oh, you're making that up. And we were told it was something kids do and it was make-believe and it wasn't real. But imagination is pictures coming forth from your subconscious to your consciousness. It is spirit, your spirit, highest spirit, cosmic consciousness communicating to you, this is for you. This is for you. And the better it feels when you envision it and imagine it, the more it's for you. Because that is the thing, that is the feeling tone that is going to get the movement activated.
Have you ever heard of this before? Where I've heard it said that God was so in love with the idea of you, he couldn't help himself. She couldn't help herself. She had to create you.
Yes.
Right? That the divine is so in love with the idea of pink roses that it must create pink roses. And it thinks of it.
Yes.
And then creates it.
Yes.
And so we are the same way. When we think of something and it makes us feel so much love, that is the knowing that we must create it.
That's right.
So that love, joy, enthusiasm, passion, those are all the motivators of, if you are dying for it, it means the world is asking for it.
Yes. It's the feeling when we talked earlier, when the doors are closing and you stop visualizing and you start awfulizing. So we're saying, well, activate your desire by starting to visualize again.
Mm-hmm.
Start to see it. You don't have to believe it. You just have to see it. The beliefs are what got you in trouble in the first place. Leave the beliefs over on the shelf and just get into feeling good. Visualize it. Play with it in your mind. Spend a few times every day. Just prime your environment. Put things in your environment that you love. Words that you love. Quotes that you love. Affirmations that you love. You know, just spend a few minutes when you first wake up in the morning with your eyes closed thinking of something amazing. Even if it may never happen, enjoy the feeling of being with it in your own mind. Enjoy being intimate and in communion with what you want here and now, because that is you bringing your pleasure into your reality principle.
And that feeling that you get when you imagine it is the indicator of how powerful you are. That feeling tone that takes over your body when you start to imagine life as big as it can be is the engine saying, yes, Yes. Now you are starting to get an idea of who you really are.
Yes. And you can do it no matter how much money you have.
Yeah.
You can do it no matter how many credits you have. You can do it no matter how old you are. You can sit in a room where every door is closed and say, oh, whatever is out there is nothing compared to what is in here. I have my imagination, and that is actually so much better than whatever lies behind any of those doors. And when we can stand in that, when we can stand for that, we start to realize there's actually nowhere we really want to go. Where we actually want to be is just with ourselves, our biggest self, our fullest self, our most alive, vibrant, joyful self. And the only way we can do that is by saying, my desire is my priority.
Oh, and there is no better company than your biggest, baddest, most authentic, outrageous self. There just is no better person to spend your time with.
I just literally thought you were going to say, there's no better company than your biggest, baddest breasts in my face
right now. Like your breasts in my face right now? That is ultimate joy.
I mean, listen, I'm helping your imagination.
My imagination has so many other places it wants to go. Talk about authentic desires.
Right.
Woo.
So we want to encourage you that if you feel stuck, first of all, to consider that it's actually for you.
Mm-hmm.
That it's actually a great thing. And can you change the way you are perceiving the energy of stuck to say, ooh, there's really something here that wants to move me in a new dynamic way that I've never moved before. And while I'm getting my training wheels, I just gotta just sit here for a minute. But this is a good thing. I'm learning some new things. Evolution is happening. There is deep inner movement, even if I don't see it on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to say to you, whatever in your life feels like that closed door, that slam door, that impossible thing that's in the future, that thing that you can never get to, you already have the most important thing you need. And start spending time with your desire and watch how your desire will transform the whole game.
There's this Einstein quote that I love, and it says, logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere.
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 So wherever you want to go, you can go. There actually is no limit.
And there is no closed door.
No, not a one.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that beautiful lecture.
Thank you for listening. Oh. I'm so glad that we got to jam on it together.
Yeah.
Because it's my favorite thing.
It's so great.
And we are actually going to be back for another Create class in New York City on July 9th. It's a Monday night at 7 p.m. at the Actors Green Room in New York City. It's on Broadway and 28th Street. So if you're interested in that, check out thecreateseries.com and you can find out more information about that, or theactorsgreenroom.com. And we would love to have you. And I'm actually taking suggestions for the topic for that night. So if you want to join our Create Community Facebook page, it's the acronym CREATE, C.R.E.A.T.E. community.com. Come join our Facebook page. It's a really fun place to be. It's just a bunch of artists supporting each other. Kristen and I post quotes and love notes for you all the time, and we give you information on our upcoming classes and things like that. And you can shoot me a little love note and tell me what topics you would love to hear, and we will make that happen for you.
There's so much positive energy in that Create community. It like really does things to my heart to see who people are being inside that community. Also, if you want to plan a trip to New York,
Woo!
We're also teaching on August 6th.
That's right.
So, you know.
If you want to put that in your calendar, it's also a Monday. You could take a long weekend in New York and come and spend some time with us, and that might be fancy and fun.
You know you want to spend some time this summer in New York. Want to take a trip, Natalie and I are going to Rome. You could be looking at her cleavage too. And all it takes is a little trip to Rome to study pleasure. And let me tell you, it is pleasurable. So it's the very last weekend of August.
August 31st into September 3rd. Your 3rd, yes, that's right.
And
so fun. And if you've never, the reason that we love to do these pleasure trips in different places is so you rock yourself out of some of those beliefs.
Right.
So that we just say, okay, well, the world I have at home with my chores and my routine and everything that I have to do, that's the fertile ground for all these beliefs of my ego to take root. So we want to uproot you.
Yes.
So you can focus so solely on desire. And when you study pleasure and desire, it brings up all that contrast of all the unworthiness, all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the selfishness. And so it's really powerful to be in a really held, beautiful retreat-like setting. So as those things might come up for you, there's real time to process, and process in a really beautiful place where you're away from all that stimulus from your normal every day-to-day. It's very, very powerful. Paris was the first time we did this, and it was so life-changing. Well, for me personally, it was so life-changing.
I saw people transform in front of my eyes in Paris that they didn't even seem like the same person. Like,
yes.
Where it seemed like there was no color in their face, no joy in their heart, to literally watching people, like, swing around telephone poles and, you know,
yes,
what I mean, and kick their heels up and,
yes,
and
communicate with children they hadn't spoken to in years, and having like major beautiful forgiveness or breakthroughs or things that had blocked them for years,
getting in touch with their true artist self and remembering how powerful that they are. And there's something about being in another country and being in a new place that you do start to ask yourself different questions, like, what do I want to do today? What do I want to eat? Where we don't have this automatic programming that's the norm, and just getting in touch with that voice transforms your life.
Absolutely. And you may be listening to this thinking, well, I'm not an actor or I'm not a musician. And trust us, pleasure and desire and standing for yourself and your voice and what you want isn't just for certain types of people. Wherever you are, whoever you are, it is your human right. And we want to help you access that. So if that interests you, we have a few spots left. And we're doing a really special promo for Kristen's birthday.
My birthday!
Where we're doing a really steep discount on the trip. So I think it's like $200 or $300 off. It's something crazy.
And if you guys go to www.thecreateseries.com and click on retreats, there's like a whole big thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a link to our Pleasure Around the World website where there's all these cute videos that we made.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you go to the teacher videos, do this just for fun. If you go to our Pleasure Around the World website, which you can get to from our Create website, and go under teacher bios, there we have the cutest videos we did.
They're really cute.
Yeah, and I really
like
them.
I look a little bit like, my hair is like very bouffanty. I look a little bit like I should have been in the Hairspray movie, but I love it.
But that's why I love that.
Yeah.
I love it when your hair is big.
Yeah,
well,
I love it.
Look who you're talking to. I'm like the biggest fan of big hair. Big hair, big spirit, big love.
The Kristen Hange story. We want to thank you so much for listening. It means so much. We love bringing you this content every week. These are just conversations we love to have with each other, and it always feels like all of our friends are hanging out listening with us, so we really appreciate that. And if you have podcast ideas for us, please come to the Create page and throw those ideas at us. We want to hear from you. We really want to hear from you. We want to know what you love. We want to know what you want more of. It's really exciting for us to be in that interaction.
We live to serve. Please let us serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, have the best week of letting your desires get so big they shock you and they amaze you, and mostly they turn you on.
Amen.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!